Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Some losses are hard to explain. Grief is wrapped up in gratitude. Loss is woven into love. Kevin Wooster writes about one such connection. You can read his work at sdpb.org/Wooster. But he joins us on the phone now to remember Sister Marmion Howe. Kevin, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Well, it's great to be here, especially to talk about this wonderful woman.
She just sounds amazing. And she lived to be, what, 100 years old? So the anniversary of women's suffrage and Sister Howe, or Sister Marmion Howe?
Yes, anniversary of women's suffrage. And then she left us, as I say in the column, on Thanksgiving. So many of us, as we were giving thanks for so many things, remembered all that she had done for us and done for so many over that long, productive, and, you know, persistent but gentle life that she lived.
All right, we're going to talk about who she is, but first tell me the first time that you met her. How does she come into your life?
Well, Mary and I were both had been divorced, and we were seeing each other, and I was coming to Rapid most weekends regularly from Sioux Falls, and she started taking me with her to St. Martin Monastery, where she went to something called centering prayer, which, you know, I'm a regular mass-going Catholic, but I had never had any experience with that. And it was something begun by a Trappist monk named Thomas Keating, who just died here in his 90s a couple years ago, about a process, in many ways ancient process, that combines a number of spiritual approaches to seeking God and spirituality and a quiet time, 20 minutes, the way they did it there, trying to empty your mind and find a quiet place in your head and open it up to a greater presence that some of us, many of us, call God. So when I went out there, I was a little intimidated. There was this little gray-haired woman who took over this new thing in her life, this very important centering process to be a leader at the monastery, and people of different faiths came there to learn from her. And she decided to do that at 80, I think. And she thought, oh, this is going to be a good thing to do for the next stage of my life.
I'll start something new.
Yeah, I'll start something new, which she did throughout her life. I met her. She's a tiny woman, you know, very slight of build and very kind face and gentle, soft voice, but very bright eyes and looked at you directly and when a welcoming a countenance she brought. And so that in this little room at St. Martin's, I met this little woman who would have such a big influence on my life.
Yeah, because you're someone who, even sitting in a classroom, you know, as a young boy and as a high school, this is not you sitting in a room silently exploring your personal interior wasn't something that you came with a lot of enthusiasm, I'm guessing, or you certainly, you know, that's, so what is it about her and her continence and her invitation, or was it really Mary's influence, your wife, on you that said, I'm going to try this, I'm going to go under their guidance and do something, because I think that speaks to the influence she had on many other people, too.
I think it did. I went primarily because I wanted to go whatever Mary wanted to do on a weekend was fine with me, and I knew this was important to her. And so I went there, and of course, I think Mary knew that I would find Sister Marmion absolutely irresistible in her influence, and I did. And so I wanted to go back, and I wanted to try this because it was important to Mary, and also because this tiny woman was so compelling in the way that she offered it to you, with no pressure, with this welcoming, spirit that she carried through her life, and so I tried, and not very successfully a lot of the times, because I've got a big mouth. I like to talk. I like to think. And to empty my mind and not have thoughts for 20 minutes was a bit of a challenge.
Yeah. Let's talk about her and how she came to that space. So how did she come to, was she raised Catholic and enters, you know, convent, or I'm not really sure the right language to use. How does she begin this journey with the church?
Yeah, a large Catholic family, Western South Dakota, went to St. Martin Academy and then at Sturgis, and it was a, you know, a high school then, and then she followed that up by entering St. Martin at the monastery and going through the process, and eventually she began as, I don't remember the name, Alice Genevieve Howe, and entered the convent there in 1939 and made her final profession of faith, the religious life, as Sister Marmion in August of 1944. And as I said in the piece, and she was just getting started, trust me. She loved education, and she was science-based, and she got multiple degrees, including some advanced degrees in science, taught nursing, different nursing classes in nursing school, and was at South Dakota Mines for a while, I think, in the biology department, and then decided, as she did, at 60-some, 65, she wanted to go back and get a master's degree in counseling and be a counselor, and was very important in the early years of Catholic Social Services, where Mary works now, and did that work leading up to her decision to take on the centering prayer responsibility.
When you think about someone like this is life, I always want to know when they had doubts, because it seems so easy to say that there is this progression and this embracing, and but was there a dark night of the soul? Was there, you know, what kinds of, you know, when she was sitting in that room, like, well, how was she fighting off her own thoughts and fighting? Did you get any indication from her based on her teachings of just the wisdom and where it came from for her?
I got sympathy for those who would have those doubts, including myself, from her. Yeah. And understanding. And she was very understanding of what I considered to be my failures at centering prayer. And she would always tell me that I was doing it my way, and that I had to, you know, just work within myself. And I got a lot out of it. I don't know that I ever did it right. But I never sensed those kinds of doubts within her. And even in her later years, you know, the last few years as things were failing, and you would see her and she would be in a walker and she didn't hear as well. And she would get kind of drowsy when we were at places out there. And I have to say too, and one of the great sadnesses for me in this was that Mary and I haven't been able to see her since last February because of COVID and the need to protect the sisters out there. But she would always say, even as her health was failing, I've got another day and I have to find out what God has in mind for me today. And she just, that was her way throughout life. And she would pray and she would listen. And she was one of those people that believe she defined from her prayers the next stage of her life. And in the end, that was day by day stage. But every one she took on as an important stage, and one that she was eager to find out what was in it.
Yeah. I guess I just made that connection that all these different things that she did because of the guidance that she received in those times of silence or quiet or what have you. And that's pretty, how many times do we just rush to the next thing or write a pro-con list or try to analyze? Or maybe that's just me. Maybe I should be quiet and listen a little more often.
Well, I think that's the usefulness of that meeting that I would have with those people. And these were people that were Catholics. They were Lutherans. They were non-denominational. They were, you know, a variety of, because this is open, Thomas Keating and Sister Marmion believed that this was open to all, that it, regardless of your religious choice or even no religion, if you were willing to seek that, what Keating called the disposition of the heart, which was where he believed and where Sister Marmion believed holiness waited and God waited. This ascent to the presence of God, I think it was called, but the ascent within yourself, because God is there too, they believe. Now, you can, and there were people there, right, maybe that didn't even believe in God. They were searching for some spiritual place, and that was the process they used, and she welcomed them all, because she welcomed everyone.
Searching in somebody else's tradition, but maybe searching all for something different. Interesting. All right, yeah. So she dies on Thanksgiving, And she's laid to rest on Tuesday, which is a day of generosity and giving, a day when across the nation and certainly across the state, people are experiencing and talking about the energy of service. Talk a little bit about symmetry, Kevin, and these things that we cannot plan, but sometimes we should be wise to notice.
Well, we should always notice that when something's going on, and maybe, as I say in the blog piece, it was by coincidence, but probably not, that it was Giving Tuesday when a time when charitable donations are made and encouraged throughout the world. She was laid to rest out there among the pines in the monastery cemetery with her wonderful sisters, her family around her, because it was very limited. Mary, my wife, and she's an oblate at the monastery, which means she's gone through a process of prayer and seeking, and this group of oblates help there and try to take that Benedictine spirit out into the world in their daily lives. And so they were there after the service, and so Mary got to go there and be at the gravesite before Sister Marmion was buried. And she came home and said to me, "Oh, Sister Marmion would love this. Died on Thanksgiving and buried on Giving Tuesday. She spent her life giving and encouraging giving in others." So,
in a year when it feels like, yeah, right. In a year that it feels like we've lost so much, it's really hard not to stand in awe at, in gratitude of what we've also are reminded of. That we have to be grateful for. It's hard to process at all, Kevin, honestly. But we will in the days to come.
It's complicated. And when you know someone who matters and who matters to you, just knowing they were there, knowing she was there, even though we couldn't go to the convent and do the things that we've done to see the sisters, there was this warmth, this light there. And that's out. But it left to... No, it left something to matter. She left something to matter.
You can read more from Kevin Wooster on his website or on our website, sdpb.org/Wooster. That's his blog. It's called On the Other Hand, and Kevin is with us every Thursday to share insight. What a gift. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.